The reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 36. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other side also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Sue. Let's pray now for Neil. Heavenly Father, come now by your Holy Spirit and speak to us through Neil. We pray that you will anoint him and use his words to speak to us in the way that Jesus taught his disciples. May you teach us today to know you better. In your name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's good to be here with you. I giggled when Janet said an extra hour in bed. Three boys in my house, it's an extra hour of Sunday. Hey. Never an extra hour in bed. That one does never works. Perhaps one day that will be the case. There's God calling. I've got a question for you. What brings you delight? What things do you see, what things do you do that brings you delight? Turn to the person next to you or around you. Tell them something that brings you delight. Great, give me a shout out, some things that bring delight. I heard someone say books, reading books. It's a great delight. Any other? Just shout out. Nature. My wife loves trees. Give her trees, she's in her own world. View from the top of a mountain. People, hanging out with people. Yeah, a few nods for that one. Just being around other people brings delight. Brilliant. Let me tell you two of mine. One that brings delight I see in others as well. First one is Natalie and I, my wife and I, were married 20 years in beginning of September. And we managed to get away for a few days just recently. And we went to Pembrokeshire. Water, hills, trees. Perfect setting for both of us. Trees for Natalie, mountains and hills for Natalie. Water for me. I absolutely love water. And I realized being there how much I loved water and how much I miss it, to the point where I'm currently trying to buy a kayak on eBay because I've realized I just need to get back out. But that brought me real delight. The place we stayed in had a kayak in the shed. And so I took it out and went out onto the sea and just loved, I loved the flatness one day of just being able to kayak up and down the beach. And then the second day, or the first day actually, the second day was flat. The first day there was waves and I could just go out and I could surf on the kayak in the waves and just kind of fight my way out and then spin around and then just fly back in again onto the beach. And I could have been there forever. It was just great delight. But unfortunately, I couldn't be. I couldn't be there forever. I had to come back to Bristol. But there was that moment of delight. You also see that with kids when they've got bubbles. Just that great joy when kids are playing with those bubbles that just you can just run around and you pop them. But it's the same as well. It's that same moment, isn't it, that the bubbles pop and they're like, it's gone. Or they'd catch it and they just try and hold on to it and they want to keep it forever and it's gone. And there's something about that. There's the moments that we have and there's something of that delight that we get that perhaps is only temporary that has been talked about in this. But we'll come back to that in a minute. So as Janet said, we're in a series looking at who Jesus is. And today's title is Jesus is a Teacher. And here we have a passage. It's an interesting passage because there's a number of different ideas and theories about it. One is that it's a collection of talks, a collection of things that comes together that Luke and Matthew have brought both together. You may have heard it being spoken and gone, oh, that's familiar but not quite, because you may have heard the Sermon on the Mount, sometimes called the Beatitudes, being spoken out, but not all of them mentioned. And again, that's an interesting, there is two theories. One is that this is Luke's version of the Beatitudes and that Matthew also wrote it and they heard slightly different things or remembered slightly different things or they wanted to bring a different point. Some also say that the Beatitudes of Matthew is called the Sermon on the Mount because it talks about him going up a mountain to talk it. They talk about this passage being the Sermon on the Plain because it says, and he went to a level place. So it could be that they're two different talks, which is an encouragement for anyone who does any talks that you can use the same talk twice, and that's absolutely fine. So that was an encouragement to me. We don't have a definitive answer. They have different ideas. It doesn't matter. What matters is what's in it and what it speaks to us today of who God is, of what his kingdom is like, which is the kingdom that Jesus spoke about. So what is the point? Jesus is teaching. He's trying to help us understand what it's all about. In a world that thinks it's got something of this sorted out. It's got a whole load of rituals, particularly for the Jewish people. A whole load of rituals and order and systems in place that help them to live out who they are and who God's called them to be. But Jesus has arrived on the scene. And he turns everything on its head. He says the things that you think are important in this world are not important at all. The things that are important to me are different to the important, are different to the things that are important to what others will say. Jesus comes to teach about an upside-down kingdom. You see, we live in a world, and we know this, we live in a world that glorifies and praises certain things. We live in a world that glorifies wealth. We live in a world that glorifies achievement and acknowledgement and outward expressions of work. We glorify people who are full of worldly content. We aspire to be like them. We aspire to those that are famous. Our world is driven by these things. Our media is driven by, if only you were like, you would have. We aspire to be people who are praised by others. You may be sitting there saying, no, I'm not. I'm not at all. Praise Jesus. That's what he's saying in this. But so many in our world that out there is driven by this. We listened to a talk recently, last week, he was talking about the emerging generations that are coming through and their anxiety, and marked by an anxiety. And one of those things that makes them anxious is the thing that they can do whatever they want. They can be whatever they want. They can choose those things. And actually, rather than being a word of release, it's a word that makes them anxious. Makes them think, I have no idea what to choose. I don't know what I should do. What's the right thing? For us, we may be people who had less options. But the desire to have all those options is something of this world. But Jesus speaks woe to those people. Not a word of punishment, not a word that says you're in trouble, in the sense of it's wrong, but a word that says, alas, I'm sad for you because you're missing out on something else. You feel, or you may have found contentment in this world, but you've missed out on something eternal. Because Jesus starts this teaching with blessed. Blessed are those that are poor, blessed are those that are hungry, blessed are those that weep, blessed that those are oppressed and excluded. They are the people who receive the kingdom of God. Not just in the future, not just when they die they'll get all that stuff, because God's kingdom is here and now, in part. And he's saying you can receive it now. It's not just a shift of focus. It's not just a kind of, if you think this thing really hard. It's something deeply true about the kingdom of God. That our satisfaction, that our health, our wholeness, our life, our wealth is found in God's kingdom. And when we know that and we get that, there is deep joy and deep peace, no matter what our circumstances are like. I was thinking about, what does this look like in reality? And I was thinking about when Natalie and I first got married 20 years ago. And we knew what we needed to do in that first year of marriage. And Natalie was training to teach, and I was doing an internship in a church. Neither of us got paid for either of those two things. But we knew it was the right thing to do. So we just had to pray. We had to trust God. And we just had to say, well, we know we're doing the right thing. Where's the provision going to come from? And it was such a deeply peaceful time. There was times where we're like, is it going to happen? Are we going to be able to pay a mortgage this week, rent this week, this month? But it was deep peace. And we knew that God provided so much. It became really hard when we got a pay package. We had to choose what we did with our money. Whose was it? Was it mine? What could I spend it on? Suddenly it was really difficult. It was kind of you constantly kind of worrying. I don't want to go back to that place of kind of not having enough all of the time. But actually there's something really special about it. And I think there's something of that spoken in this, that when we're in that place, when we know that we hunger for God, we hunger in reality as well, that we're in need. And there's something of the good news that speaks into that. But it goes beyond that, because the kingdom of God is not just a nice idea. It's not just a nice thought. It's not just an intellectual thing that we hold onto that we get to heaven, but it's an actual reality that is being brought out on earth. And we see the beginning of this in his as he continues to teach, love your enemies. He also goes on to say, not to judge. As we read on further, some of the other titles, he teaches a parable about that and about taking the speck out of our own eye. That there is a practical reality to his kingdom that is the reversal of everything that we expect. That we live in a world that says, if they do that to me, it's okay for me to do it back. We see that with my boys all the time. Well, he did this, so it's okay for me to do this. Jesus says, the kingdom is not like that. That we are to love no matter what. But how do we do that? Because the danger is we turn into a people that says, well, we've got to do this no matter what. It's a choice that I make. I choose to live. I choose to love. I choose to do all this stuff. And it becomes, again, something of our outward actions. And if we read on in this passage, Jesus finishes this section by talking about trees and fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. The tree that we are bears the fruit that we have. If we get who Jesus is, if we get what he's about, if we allow him to live in us, all we can do is bear good fruit. All we can do is bear his fruit, which is to love people, is to not judge. It becomes a journey that we are on and speaks to a world around us of good news, of a peace and a joy that is beyond the substance that we have. Again, in this talk that I heard recently about our emerging generations, they said the people who are going to speak most to that generation are the people of that generation. But the people who will be heard the most are the people who are not defined by the technology that is around. If we can raise up and pray for our children and young people that they are not defined by the technology, then these are the children and young people that can define the culture around them. Because when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when our eyes are focused on him and we allow him to dwell in us, to teach us, he is the good teacher. He will teach us how to walk out this thing. And so it means, as we finished in our reading today, we can be merciful. We can show mercy to others, undeserved compassion. We can show that to others because we know that we've received it from God. That's what he wants for us, to receive his compassion, his kindness. Do you know that today? Do you know his compassion today? His kindness towards you? You may feel like someone who has very little. You may feel like you hunger for more of things. It may be that you are weeping for others and for yourself, that you feel held back and oppressed. But God the Father shows you compassion. He says, I love you and I delight in you. Come to me. Receive from me. So let's just take a moment. What do you need of God today? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you bring to our lives. Thank you for this kingdom that is so upside down. Thank you that it's a kingdom that speaks to our world of life and hope. And Father, I pray for each one of us, for each one of us as we listen today. Father, I pray that we would know your goodness and your kindness. That even today, Father, we would know the deep joy and peace that comes by knowing that we are blessed because we know you. And Father, I pray for those that need that today. Father, I pray that you would come and meet with us, that we'd encounter your mercy afresh or for the first time. Because we ask it in Jesus' name.